ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 7 एंटाइटल्ड द किलिंग ऑफ डीमन तृणावर्त। टेक्स्ट नंबर 16। गावहा सर्वगुणोपेता वास सृक्रुक्ममालिनी आत्मजाभ्युदयार्थाय प्रादाते चान्वयुञ्जत। गावहा महाराज फॉर द सेक ऑफ द एफलजेंस ऑफ हिज सन ऑफ हिज ओन सन कृष्णा गेव द ब्राह्मणास काउज फुल्ली डेकोरेटेड विथ गारमेंट्स फ्लावर गारलैंड्स एंड गोल्ड नेकलेसेस। दीज काउज फुल्ली क्वालिफाइड टू गिव एम्पल मिल्क वर गिवन टू द ब्राह्मणास इन चैरिटी एंड द ब्राह्मणास एक्सेप्टेड देम एंड बेस्टोड ब्लेसिंग्स अपॉन the whole family, especially upon Krishna. Purport. Nanda Maharaj first fed the Brahmanas sumptuously and then gave them in charity first-class cows fully decorated with gold necklaces, garments and flower garlands. Om Agyatar. Although titled as the killing of demon Tanavrata, describes two demons killing. One is the Shakatasur and second is Trinavrata. First half is describing that. In the beginning of this chapter, King Parikshit is making very beautiful statements which we will read. He says, my dear Shukadev Goswami, all the various activities exhibited by the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are certainly pleasing to the ear and the mind. Simply by one's hearing these activities, the dirty things in one's mind immediately vanish. Generally, we are reluctant to hear about the activities of the Lord, but Krishna's childhood activities are so attractive that they are automatically pleasing to the mind and the ear. Thus, one's attachment for hearing about material things, which is the root cause of material existence, vanishes completely. And one gradually develops devotional service to the Supreme Lord, attachment for Him and friendship with the devotees who give us the contribution of Krishna consciousness. Such beautiful statements Parikshit Maharaj is making. If you think it fit, kindly speak about these activities of the Lord. So we have to first prepare our mind to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam. In the sense that we want to hear Krishna's pastimes to get detached from the attraction of hearing the material things of the world. We also want to hear the pastimes of the Lord so that all dirty things in our mind should immediately vanish. Also, we want to develop attraction to the Lord, attachment for Him, and develop friendship with the devotees who give us Krishna consciousness. And in other purports, Prabhupada explains that that simply by hearing the Lord's pastime, one becomes transcendental. Situated on the platform which is beyond the influence of three modes of material nature, situated beyond the platform of miseries which is arising from the senses and sense perception, as Krishna says in Gita. And he says by situating oneself on the spiritual platform, what one does? Hears about the pastimes of the Lord and engages oneself in service to Krishna. So it's a very beautiful process. And now Parikshit Maharaj is already enlightened, enlivened, although one is expected to be physically on the last days of Bhagavad Saptaha, very tired, exhausted, sleepy, maybe bored. This is what we can expect ourselves if we are there. But Shukadeva Maharaj is narrating and Parikshit Maharaj is listening And day by day, moment by moment, there is increasing enthusiasm and increasing enthusiasm to hear the pastimes of the Lord. This is something which is unique. So when one gets situated on the transcendental platform, what happens is this, that one becomes more and more and more eager as time passes. While in the material world, as time passes, we get exhausted. So this is the state of Shukadeva Maharaj. After hearing maybe of 6 days, I think 5.5 days or 6 days, he's entering in 10th canton, he's so enthusiastic. And even many occasions, Shukadeva Maharaj is also congratulating Parikshit Maharaj. I congratulate you. You're such a wonderful listener that you are giving me enthusiasm by your enthusiasm. Inflict me with the enthusiasm that you have. So I can, I speak because of you. I thank you for this. So this is the wonderful scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is most beneficial for the speaker, for the listener, and for everybody in the world. Wherever it is recited, by the effect of Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole world gets benefited. The transcendental benefit always remains in ethos and benefits everybody. That is why still there is rain, still there is crops coming in from earth, still fruits are coming from trees. So this pastime, the background is like this. Although at this moment of time, Nanda Maharaj is treating the guest, the brahmanas. The story begins like this. Although we have heard, we will try to repeat. Krishna was born on Rohini Nakshatra. So after 3 months of Krishna's birth, you know, every month the nakshatra comes. At the end of 3rd month, again when Rohini Nakshatra comes, at the same day, Krishna just turned around and crawled on his hands and knees and went out of the house. And Yashodamai noted that Krishna has done a very important activity, very important transitional activity. It's called Uthana. So she wanted to immediately celebrate the Uthana ceremony. This is how the life of Raja is very, very beautiful. That everything that is happening with the Lord is a festival. In fact, there is no need to have even for Lord to turn. Whatever the Lord does, even if it looks this side, is a festival. It looks upside, is a festival. It looks down, is a festival. Everything is a festival. The whole life of Raja is simply a festival of love among the devotees and the Lord.
Descended on the cart, which is like a huge big room, all like palm trees, and it was long, heavy and wide. When he landed on the cart, the wheels sank in the earth because of the weight of the demon, and the axle got tilted. You can imagine, you know, such a huge room. It's like a chariot going under the ground. You know? And Krishna, are totally free from the ungrateful nature. They are not infected with any unnecessary pride. They are free from any grudges. You know, you did this to me, you did that to me, that to me, did that to me, at that time when I went to one function, you did this, that to me. There's no grudge in the heart. They just take everything as the mercy of the Lord and live very peacefully. So they don't keep any grudges about anybody. And another thing is, they are never disturbed by seeing the opulence of others. Like Vishwamitra Muni never thought that, other Munis never thought that the sister had a Rama Dhenu and I don't have. I wish I would have that. Vishwamitra thought that. We are not talking about Vishwamitra Muni. We are talking that when sages have different things, even among sages there could be envy, there could be competition, there could be different things. But such people whose words are very powerful, they are free from disturbance of opulence of others. They are self-satisfied. Whatever they have, they may have company or may not have company. They may have beautiful environment in the ashram or may not have. They may poop on the trees. But they are not disturbed by the envy of the opulence of others. And they are not afflicted by any false prestige of anything what they have. They may have any siddhis or any powers. When we have these qualities, then Prabhupada says that person's words become true. And sadhus are giving, you know, we read about Narad Muni giving verse to Yamala, what is that? Nalapuveran Mani Guruva. Then we know Jajali Muni giving verse to the demon and he became Bakasur. There are so many stories. Everybody has a curse. That's why they have become demons. Everybody. Putana also. She was, she thought of Vamandeva, a child, and then she wanted to kill the child. She could kill him. So, many of them were cursed. Agasura. He actually laughed at Ashtavakra Muni for his ugly body. So, Agasura became a demon. And then he was given a concession that Krishna will enter in your body and you will be delivered. So, what is the actual curse of a sadhu? Sadhu's curse is actually a blessing. It may appear like externally as a punishment, but actually, sadhu's words or sadhu's curses are always uniting the person with the Supreme Personality of God. That we should understand. But we should never get fearful of sadhu's curses. Even if they curse us, actually, ultimately, a real sadhu's curse is never meant for us to get separated from the Lord. We may suffer physically or materially, but ultimately we get united with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and receive ultimate blessings. As Utkacha, son of Hiranyaksha, he had no scope of going back to Godhead. But by the curse of Lama Shamuni, he could not only get liberated, but he could go back to Godhead simply, ascending the throne, ascending the chariot. So we have to understand that this Brahminical nature that Prabhupada is explaining in the purport also, is so important that he said that my society is meant for creating Brahmins. I am trying to reinstate Brahminical status and thus giving head to the society, and the society will ultimately run because of the head that is being created. And ISKCON is supposed to also create first class Brahmins. ISKCON is supposed to be the intellectual aspect of the society, spiritual intellectual aspect, which will give guidance to society and lead society into leading a life of varnashram and devotional service to Lord. So, in this particular pastime, we can see that there is contrast, you know. Krishna's lotus feet is like soft lotus petals or rose petals. They are so soft that gopis are always meditating that they should not get hurt anywhere. Because if he puts on the ground, it may be hard for him. If he puts on the stone, it may hurt him, it may bleed. They are always crying in the heart, meditating on the softness of the lotus feet of the Lord. When Krishna went to forest, they were all meditating that, no, he may step on the stones, he may step on the pebbles or thorns and hurt himself. And they would cry in the thoughts itself. He's not, they don't know what's happening with him, but they are simply thinking and they are crying. That is the beauty of emotions of bhakti. So here we see that the lotus feet is so soft, but what is the effect? As soon as he's touching that palm tree, like tall, wide, strong heart, it is coming down into ground, into tumbling into pieces, crashing down, making tumultuous sound. So this is contrast.
A similar contrast is there when Krishna was dancing on Kaliya's hoods. His steps were so softly put on the heads of Kaliya, and he was so gracefully dancing. You know, gopis had actually told Krishna that you should dance, you know, show us how to dance nicely. So Krishna thought a unique way of dancing on the hoods of Kaliya to please the gopis. And he explained that his steps were so gracious that the Gandharvas, the Yakshas, the Kinnaras and the Kimpurushas in the sky, they were trying to match up with the Taal or that Krishna was dancing with. And he explained that they could not catch up with the Taal. They wanted to give music to the Taal that he was dancing with. They could not match up with the music also. They were all expert demigods, you know, of music. But they couldn't figure out what Taal it is. They couldn't figure out how to accompany it with our instruments, and they simply attempted but failed to attempt, and they kept attempting. But what was happening to Kaliya? Every gracious, soft step that he was putting on his head was serving him like Vajraghat, thunderbolt, and all the poison and flames were coming out of his mouth, and he was like getting weakened at every particular touch of the Krishna's feet on his head. At the same time graceful, at the same time painful for Kaliya. And for Krishna it is not an effort. No, dancing is not an effort, it's a fun. He was having simply enjoyment. He was in the coils of Krishna, in the coils of Kaliya, or jumped on the head of Kaliya. Simply enjoyment. There was no effort. That is the specific nature of Krishna when he comes. There is no work, simply enjoyment. So then, Nanda and all cowherd men and all women came running, rushed to the spot. How this happened? They were wondering, and it is explained that for a long time, they just all silently just kept gazing at the scene. How this must have happened? Such a huge cart, such a small baby. How this must have happened? So they asked the boys who were supposed to be guarding, what happened? So they said Krishna wanted to have milk. He was hungry, so he cried. And cried, you know how children are always throwing their legs up and down. So he kicked his legs and it just touched the wheel of the cart and everything came down. So they started discussing among each other what the boys are saying. And they finally concluded, the boys are simply boys. They don't know anything. How can we believe this child? They said, how can that be? Such a small child, such a huge cart. It is simply impossible. So in Gopal Champu, that Madhukanta and Snigdhakanta are discussing. So Snigdhakanta is asking Madhukanta, how this can be possible? He said, don't ever ask me again. I told you before also, this is Yogamaya's potency. He said, Yogamaya nicely covered them. The truth is something else. But Yogamaya puts them into such an illusion, she puts them on a different platform. And what do they think? That there is some star in the sky called Balagraha, that is called as, there is a mystical constellation which is very inauspicious for Krishna, and that is why first Putana came, and after that now Shaktasura is coming. And the news came to Yashoda, she was also there, and she came running little later, and she saw, and she immediately fainted. She fell unconscious. All the girls, gopis, they started fanning her and tried pacifying her, don't worry, Krishna is fine, because by the time she had not seen Krishna to be all right. She only heard that the cart under which I kept Krishna fell down and crashed down to pieces. So she thought, my God, it fell on my child. So she fell unconscious. And the cowherd girls, cowherd ladies, they pacified her. So she woke up and she said, what? My 3 months old baby, having butter like soft body, suffered so much. Suddenly the cart broke and fell down on my son. Why I did not have heart attack by hearing this? How I am still alive? Why my heart did not stop beating? When I heard this news, definitely my heart must be as strong, as hard as Vajra, thunderbolt. Then she said that it is a result of my misfortune that Putana came. It is a result of my misfortune that Shaktasura also immediately followed, one after another. I guess more misfortune awaits for me. That is why I want to have another ceremony to please the Brahmins. It is due to bad stars for my son called Balagraha, that is Graha Dosh. So immediately she wanted her husband to call Brahmins. She took Krishna on his lap, on her lap, and immediately
her breast.
And if you read Krishna's pastimes,
wherever there are difficulties, and the difficulties are apparently solved, what Sudha is doing? First thing, she lifts baby Krishna and puts him on her breast. This is a very significant point, that breastfeeding is supposed to be the most secure position for the child. As soon as the mother takes the child to the breast, the child feels utmost security, and the mother also feels utmost pleasure in keeping the child safe under her lap. So even medical science also, in material speaking also, when the child is scared, to appease the child, to decrease the child's fear, the mother should give breast milk immediately. It is not just chemical composition which the child requires, it is the emotional support that the child gets. So here Krishna, whenever he is coming out of apparent danger, he is not in danger, neither he is scared or he is miserable, but Mother Yashoda is acting as a simple mother, she loves the child. So immediately she felt Krishna on her breast, and of course Krishna was on lap. At that time, Nanda Maharaj, after giving breast milk from Yashoda, he took him on his lap and called all the Brahmins, and the Brahmins sang hymns from all the four Vedas, and they gave bath to him with lots of herbs. Prabhupada explains how the herbs are so beautifully decorated and water is made out of that. And Krishna was given full bath with the herbs, with all the mantras. And they explain that the Brahmanas chanted the mantras so expertly. They knew exactly at what point which mantras to sing. They sang all the mantras. And then, for Graha Shanti, one fire sacrifice later. And finally, the Brahmanas were fed with first class grains and food. And then Atmaja Abhyudaya Arthaya, then we come to Suresh Yoga. That is for the purpose of the son's affluence. Nanda Maharaj, which cows he gave? Sarva Gune Petaha. All the cows who were so qualified and so equipped and so strong and beautiful and is able to give abundant amount of milk. Such cows were given in charity. And how they were given? Vasaha. They were given beautiful vastra, covered with a lot of garments. And sragaha, that means beautiful garlands of flowers were on the neck of the cows. And the necks were also decorated by Rupa Malini with golden necklaces. Such cows were donated by Nanda Maharaj to the Brahmins. And the Brahmins blessed the whole family, especially Krishna. Krishna was simply blissful and enjoying till he accepted all the rituals done by the mother and father, out of fear for danger for him. So what is exactly happening? Nothing is actually happening. Krishna is not in danger at all. But the situation is created by Yogamaya, that everybody is fearful, everybody is worried, their emotions are getting intensified, and there are Brahmins coming, and there are rituals being done, there is Graha Shanti being done, and there is the illusory thoughts of some bad stars in the sky. Now, all this is actually, you say, it's all waste of time. Why we should do all these things? Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the beauty of Braja is, by the divine arrangements of ladies like Purnamasi and others, who is Yogamaya herself, what is her job? To keep the environment of Braj so intense in love that sometimes it becomes unrealistic. Is that right? This is unrealistic. Krishna is not in danger. But what they are thinking is, oh, there is a misfortune, I am unfortunate, my child is unfortunate, the stars are bad, look what's happening again and again. Why this should happen to my child? Such a ghastly demoness came, 12 miles long, was so ghastly. She came and died in disguise. How this could be happening unless there is misfortune? It's all because of me. So I must keep on giving donations to Brahmins and keep on worshipping them and keep on doing all these rituals to save my child from danger. Or other times they're bringing calves and their tails are touching the different parts of the body of Krishna, chanting Suraksha Kavacha mantras from Vedas. Now simply, it's all illusion actually. But this illusion is most powerful because it brings the devotees close to Krishna. And that is the divine transcendental position of all these rituals. They may be appearing to be foolish sometimes, doing activities which are completely illogical or maybe not sensible also. But all their activities are pleasing the Lord because they are simply intended to please the Lord thoroughly, 100%. So they are having fear for Krishna, and Krishna is enjoying this wonderful illusory situations which they are going through, and whatever they are offering Krishna in those illusory situations, he is simply enjoying those. And who is having best time in this? Who is having the best time in this? The Brahmanas. Because whatever illusory conditions they go through, the first thing they do is they call the Brahmanas. Engage them in service, you know. So this is also a contrast again, that Krishna is in bliss, and Nanda Yashoda and coward people, all people are in dangerous situation, miserable situation, suffering, and they keep serving Brahmana. So what is important is, when we undergo some sufferings, we take shelter of some material solutions. And when Vajvasis undergo some sufferings, what they do? They take shelter of this intellectual part of the society immediately. They take guidance from them. They come in the picture and they solve the situation from whatever point of view they have understanding. Krishna, what ultimately does is, he simply accepts love and the activities done with loving sentiments. He only accepts those. He doesn't see, are they done in illusion or in speculation or in illogical or insensible situations? He is simply accepting love through all these activities. And that is what is hope for us. Because we also have limited intelligence that too contaminated with only material activities, material inflictions. And we may think that we are doing something for Krishna and it may not be actually appropriate. But if we have a sincere heart, sincere feelings for Krishna, even though they are inappropriate, Krishna will immediately accept it. Because his nature is, we only accept the loving sentiment of the activities. And that is why we are having hopes. Although we do wrong things, if our intentions are right, if our feelings are right, if our thinking of the Lord is very favorable in loving sentiment, then Krishna will ignore all the so-called illogical, insensible activities that we do, and accept the essential sentiment behind that. Otherwise, if Krishna was like demigod, then what would happen? Whatever we do, we will be taken literally. And then we will have its effect accordingly. Like Kumbhakarna said, Indrasan. His intention was Indrasan. But his intention was not taken into consideration. He was put into Indrasan. Because he was dealing with not Krishna, he was dealing with Brahmaji. This is a small example, you know. In demigods, this is what happens. You have to be actual, what you are doing, very clearly available there, what you are doing. If you say something here and there, there is a problem. But in Krishna, with Krishna is not like that. So we have great hopes in this situation. We may not be complete. We may be having a lot of deficiencies, our activities may be full of faults. But still, we have hope that if we keep good intentions and good heart, Krishna will only look into the heart. So Krishna consciousness ultimately is a matter of heart. Developing a heart which is full of love for Krishna. And that's what the Vajrasis have. That is why Krishna is always in love with Vajrasis. Simplicity of the heart, no duplicity. Filled with love, always concerned about Krishna. Always engaged in service to Krishna. Always doing things at the cost of one's own displeasure and own suffering to please Krishna, to make him happy. Day and night meditating on Krishna. Day and night thinking about Krishna. How to serve him, how to please him, what to do next to please him. When he's not there, they're singing the songs, and when he's there, simply busy serving him. That is the situation of Vajrasis. We all are aspiring to become servants of the Vajrasis, so that we can also acquire this simplicity of a heart. Radhana Swami Maharaj one time told that what attracts Krishna from Vajrasis is their simple, loving heart. Simple means not duplicity. Loving heart that is always attractive for Krishna. So he sold out to them. He is not only pleased with them, but he sells himself out to them. He becomes a child so that he can apparently go in a dangerous situation and he can go on the breast of Mother Yashoda, suck the breast with love and give Mother Yashoda such so much service and pleasure. Iti druksva leela vir ananda kunde svagosham nimajyantam akshapayantam. Nimajyantam means a big pond. So thus he drowned all the Gokulvasis in ecstasies and pools of love. Because they simply extending love. What they
they are doing is immaterial. What is happening is loving exchange. And that loving exchange is what all of us want. If that happens, our life is successful, whether we are physically miserable or not. When we situate ourselves on the platform of loving exchange with the Lord and His devotees, our life becomes successful. So, Krishna puts himself into this apparently dangerous conditions because he wants to get pampered by Nanda and Yashoda. Because they immediately they start caressing him, chanting mantras for him, touching cow, half tails to him, and giving him sweet meat and chanting child to Brahmins. So to taste this love, he has left Vaikuntha and come down to the earthly Vrindavan. So that he can, this also explained that he left all the opulence of Vaikuntha, Chappan Bhoga of Vaikuntha, Aishwarya of Vaikuntha, simply to come down and to relish the simple, tasty love of the Vrindavasis, which is in Madhurya. That means he has given Aishwarya up to come down to taste the Madhurya of the Vrindavasis. How the Brahmins had a good time in Vrindavan? One more event I remember, that when Radharani was born, Vishwani was so happy. Opened lots of treasury. You know, he was supposed to be much, much, much richer than Nanda Maharaj. In fact, he explained that Vishwanu Maharaj actually owned all of the Braj. Out of friendship and love for his friend Nanda, he donated some land to him and made him also king of some part of the land. So he was very rich and he had lots of treasuries, diamonds, emeralds, rubies, and varieties of jewels. You know. So he opened one treasury. Started donating to Brahmins, and Brahmins were filling their cloths with all the jewels, and they were going away. And suddenly they heard that another treasury is opened. So they dropped their jewels down and they went again to take another donation. And they again were filled with another kind of jewels, filled their cloths and their, what do you call that? Uttariya Vastra. And they heard that third treasury is opened. So they dropped those jewels on the ground and they ran for the third treasury to be accepted. And like that, it is said that the whole Braj Bhumi was filled with jewels everywhere. And Vishwanu Maharaj was opening one after another all the treasuries. The Brahmanas were accepting and accepting and accepting. So, this is so important to understand that pleasing the Brahminical class is a very important activity. What Nanda Maharaj ultimately Vishwanu Maharaj are trying to tell us that it is very important to please the Brahmanas. When the Brahmanas are pleased, Krishna is pleased. And there is an opportunity here to try to please Krishna also, but at the same time, they are not failing to please the Brahminical class. Brahminical class is not beggars. You know, they are simply getting donations one after another, and they don't keep themselves anything what they receive. They also keep on donating. They only keep what they need. They may keep on accepting whatever they are being given by Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj is giving cows like anything. Lakhs and lakhs of cows, gold ornamented and necklace and everything. So they are not keeping everything for them. They just keep whatever they need to obtain, study their scriptures and guide people into their holy rituals to please the Lord. So, because of their selfless lives, they are to be pleased. They are to be served. What we have to understand that what kind of Brahmins we should become? First thing is selflessness. Nothing for oneself. Life meant for upliftment of everybody else. And when we live on that platform of non-greedy nature, then there is development of qualities like control of emotions, control of senses, knowledge, cleanliness, forgiveness, mercy, devotional sentiment to Lord. All these wonderful qualities arise when one situates oneself on the platform of selflessness and free from greed, free from envy. Essentially, a Brahmin has to be free from any disturbance in the mind also. So to speak of, trying to do something which is difficult or easy, we have to be first free from the mental disturbance, free from envy of others' opulence. And such Brahmins, as Prabhupada said, we all can become simply by chanting Hare Krishna. Our classes generally may end on this Hare Krishna mantra only. That is a fact, it is not true. No other words of salvation in this day and age can lead you to this platform of freedom from selfishness, freedom from envy, freedom from disturbance. What Parikshit Maharaj was saying in the beginning, which I read, the translation of second verse of this chapter, he said that simply by chanting Hare Krishna and by hearing the pastimes of the Lord, what is happening is we get free from all that is dirty in the mind, all that is unwanted in the mind, all that is anartha in the mind, and we get simple ecstatic experiences. And those spiritual ecstatic experiences lead one to be selfless, to be free from envy, to be free from greed, to be free from false questions. And when one situates oneself on this platform, life is simply, whether you are living or whether you are materially living in the material world, doesn't make a difference. You become jivan mukta. You become situated in this life in itself, like we are living in Goloka Vrindavan. The body doesn't have any other effect on you except for Krishna consciousness. So let us have faith in this process, that this process will lead us to the platform on which Krishna is interacting with these devotees. This platform is not unachievable. Prabhupada has given us such a process that these experiences, what Krishna is having, or Vasudeva is having with Krishna, and Krishna is extending his love with them, is available to all of us. It is not a theoretical platform which we just simply discuss in the classes. No. By the powerful format that Prabhupada has given us in the process of Krishna consciousness, all that is experienced by the Vrijvasis here can be experienced by all of us. And that is why it is most relishable and practical. Not just in the books. All this there is what is there in the books can be experienced by all of us. And that is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. That from the most insignificant situation, we can be transferred to the most elevated situation.